back. World famous Bill Henry Show. With me is Margaret Leonard. We have Margaret Gray, Robert Leonard, and Bud Dickman.
Margaret Leonard.
I misspoke. And we have with us Larry Grover, and also on the line is Kurt Queedy. And no, actually, is Jack Armstrong again? I don't want to have Jack Armstrong.
No, I got a guy in West Virginia.
Yeah, Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton are with us from the State House there in West Virginia as these election returns are pouring in from across the country. We also have Larry Grover on the line there from Culver City. Larry, how are you? You still with us?
Yeah, right here, Phil, and I was just watching Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, we'll get into O'Reilly is talking about Obamacare. What, do you have an observation there?
Well, I think he's absolutely right, you know, that the president was misleading the country, and I think we've got a situation here where there's no question in my mind at all that Obama lied and lied through his teeth.
Can I ask a question here?
No, hold on, Phil, because this is what you do, you and your friends who are Obama supporters. You don't even let me or any of my people say what we want to say, and that is that Obama lied, okay?
Yeah?
He lied.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
When he said that you can keep your insurance, and it turns out that no, you can't keep your insurance because some insurance policies do not follow the law, is that a lie, or is that in keeping with what the Obamacare law says?
Well, he said, what do you mean in keeping with the Obamacare law says?
My question for you is a simple one. People want to hold on to insurance, I guess, that is illegal, that, in other words, charges women more money than men, for an example, okay? This is what people want to hang on to. They want that. They think that's a fair, they think that's fair insurance coverage. They think that's something that they want to pay for, a woman. You know, when we talk about being fair in this society, everybody reacts against that so vehemently as if it's like it's communism. You know, if you ask a man to pay as much money as a woman, or you allow a woman to pay as much money or as little money as a man does, apparently that's some kind of a communist thing.
No, it's not a communist thing. I don't know what you're talking about. Obama said you can hold on to your insurance.
Right, but there are provisions in this law saying that some insurance policies are patently illegal because of what they're charging individual people. They're charging some people more money than others based upon their gender.
Isn't that what the indication is? Aren't women more likely to have problems and physical ailments and so forth?
So women are more sickly than men, is that it?
Well, I mean, do you think an insurance company is going to be charging more money for a woman unless they absolutely, well, you know?
No. Yes, I do think they would charge more money for a woman, even though they absolutely don't have to. Yeah, I think they'd come up with all kinds of cockamamie reasons and excuses. I think insurance companies are like any other company. I don't know what makes them so morally upstanding that they can't, manipulate some piece of information or just manipulate the facts or the laws or the environment in any individual case to make as much money as they can. All right, let me get Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton on the phone here.
Hold on for a minute, Phil, because you're the host and you get to go, and now you're going to, I'd like to respond to a couple of things you just said.
Go ahead.
Forget it. Get these two. I'll do it when you get these two jackass.
Whoa, don't call my guests jackasses, all right?
I apologize. Get the two guys from Virginia room.
All right, Kurt Queedy, Guy Barton on the line with us. Kurt, how are you?
Well, Phil, I'm doing good, and I'm doing a lot better now that I saw that Governor Christie. I can root for a Republican. You know, I can root for a Republican. Republican good, and I know that Chris Christie good. So we're very, very, very happy to see Chris Christie elected governor of New Jersey, and I'm very happy to see Terry McCollum. Now, to Guy, come on over, Guy.
Hey, Phil.
Guy, how are you?
I'm doing good.
All right, gentlemen, you got Larry Grover from California on the phone here. We're talking about Obamacare and what everybody is saying on the right, that Obama lied, or, or something like that. So is it likely that Obama lied, or is it likely that Obama was not being clear?
Well, I don't know. I think the president... you know, saying you can hold on to insurance if you want it, but why would you want to hold on to insurance that is an illegal policy, as you just got done saying, Phil, that treats people not fairly, charges some people more than others, doesn't cover for basic things like dental or maybe hospitalization or maybe even prescription medicine, you know. Now, why do you want to hold on to insurance like that? That is not coverage. You're not covered. I have to tell you, I've been all over this country. I have never seen people in my life talking about wanting to have the right to walk around without any insurance coverage at all. And when they do get sick, they got to throw themselves on the mercy of a doctor, and that winds up getting paid or passed on to you and me. And they feel just fine about that. But they don't want Obamacare, because, I mean, they're going to have to pay a little something, you know. Or maybe the charity going to be coming direct from the government and doesn't necessarily come from their neighbors.
Wait, hold on for a minute. What are you talking about? This is Larry Grover. Is this Kurt?
Yeah, this is Kurt Queedy, Mr. Grover. How are you?
I'm good, but I don't understand what you're saying. Essentially the following. You're saying that people who have rejected Obamacare outright and don't want to have insurance are somehow, they're what?
Well, I'm saying if you don't want to have insurance, and then all of a sudden you get sick and you have to throw yourself at the mercy of a doctor or a hospital, you know who's going to pay for that. It's all the other people that do have insurance because their rates are going to go up. But those people are fine with that. They got no problem with that. They don't want Obamacare, though, because that means that it's going to be spread out a little more evenly, I guess, among all the taxpayers. And that means a more direct government interference in their mind. I don't understand them at all.
Well, okay, I hear what he's saying, and it's the argument, Larry. How do you respond to that? How do you respond? You know, we can say all we want about computer glitches. A computer glitch doesn't mean Obamacare doesn't work. It means the computer ain't working. Obama's saying something like, you can keep your insurance. Oh, no, you can't, because some insurance is illegal. In other words, it doesn't provide the right coverage. You can concentrate on Obama was not being honest with us. And I suppose this is an argument that if you believe that Obama is dishonest, you're going to have more fuel for the fire, and you can continue to think he's a scumbag and feel very self-righteous about all of that and forget about the greater reality, which is health care insurance, whether the country is better off with it or not. So, you know, I don't think the guy lied. I think what he's saying is you can hold on to your insurance if you like it, but hey, the law, and he didn't bring this up, and he should have, but the law is going to say there's some insurance that does not provide basic coverage, and it is going to be illegal, outlawed. You can't offer that insurance anymore because it doesn't do anybody any good. There's no hospital plan there. There's no prescription medicine plan. It's just some fancy-ass plan that the insurance companies come up with, you know, as another financial instrument.
You know, this is why I don't know what you just said there.
No, I know you didn't know what I just said. I know that.
Well, but so is that an insult to me, right?
Well, I'm just saying, man, this is an issue that you got to think about. You can't just say it's Obama and therefore it sucks. It's socialism, therefore it sucks. You got to look at this thing.
I've been looking at it, Phil, and I think it's a pretty low blow to say that if I don't want to have insurance, that if I get sick, I'm going to go ahead and throw myself on the mercy of a hospital, and my neighbors can pay for it, and they can stick it up there you-know-what. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I want to pay for my own insurance, and I want to pick my insurance.
All right, do you want to pick it? I'm going to just ask you something.
No, hold on for a minute, Phil. I'm not done. And where's this guy, Queedy and Barton? Aren't they there? Because these are the guys that I was supposed to be talking with here.
No, I'm here, sir. I'm listening to both of you, and I got a guy's over here. He's getting a gobbler and a couple of beer for me.
He's getting what?
He get a gobbler.
I don't know what a gobbler is.
Don't worry. It's something at the restaurant that they're at.
Well, I'm just going to say what I want to say.
When am I going to be able to jump in?
Well, go right ahead, sir, if you want to.
I was going to say, if you want to have insurance, Mr. Grover, that doesn't have prescription medicine, doesn't have hospitalization, has some kind of a deductible that's like 75% or 50%, and you want to have the right to have that, which essentially means you don't have insurance coverage. You're just paying an insurance company. They got you to pay them for something that doesn't cover you at all, and you feel good about saying you got health insurance, but if you ever actually had to use that health insurance, you die.
Yeah, that's true. You die slow. You die slow.
You die. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't understand what you're saying. When you say that I die, if I elect only to have health insurance for the doctor's visit and for the different things that I need, and I don't necessarily want to get hospital, why do I have to have hospitalization?
Because what if you need to go to the hospital? What if you have to go to the hospital?
Well, then I'm sure that I'll be able to pay for it. I'll find the money.
Oh, you're going to find the money. Can you put that in writing? Oh, wait a minute. It doesn't matter if you put it in writing, because even if you break your promise there, I'm still going to have to pay for it, because they're going to pass the rates on to me. And that's what I'm trying to say to you. I'd love to be able to take your word for it, sir. But unfortunately, in this country today, nobody's word is good for nothing. All you have to do is look at all the bank loans that people signed, said they'd pay back, and didn't.
Yeah, that's another thing Obama wants to let people get away with.
Wait, well, hold on for just a second here, man. Now you're talking two different... On the one hand, Obama is a bad guy for letting people get away with not backing up the mortgages that they signed. On the other hand, Obama is a bad guy because he wants to hold people to the responsibility of insurance and not allow them to throw themselves on the mercy of the hospital or doctor and pass that cost on to other people that have insurance. I don't understand that thinking. To me, it's just knee-jerk, automatic anti-Obamaism, you know?
Hey, look, you haven't even answered the question here about this guy Obama, and Bill O'Reilly said it very, very clearly. He lied.
All right, hold on. I got to take a break. I got Larry Grover, and I've got Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton from the West Virginia State House, and they are with us here this evening. We're talking about the elections that have taken place across the country. Some of them just wrapped up, and some of them, well, all of them just wrapped up. Some of them for office and other other races, various issues, medical marijuana among them. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every show, and Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton and Larry Grover. You know, there comes a point where you just don't even... why talk about it, man? Because everybody is... Everyone's got their mind made up, so why even talk about it?
Well, aren't you going to go back to the calls?
I will, but what's the point, you know? I'll go back, I'll talk, and it'll... I can predict what everybody is going to say. I can predict the position that everybody's going to take. You know, where are we now? Well, we're where O'Reilly is, which is the following thing. Forget about whether there's actually something called, you know, forget about whether health care works, whether we need it. It's whether Obama lied or whether he didn't lie. We've been talking about that for years and years. And you can prove that Obama comes from America. You got a guy that's running for office or is in office right now, this guy Ted Cruz. His father thinks the guy's from Kenya. You got this scumbag Newt Gingrich who calls Obama not an American president. So in other words, he's a dishonest guy. Obama's a liar, and that's just... So this is just more proof that he's a liar, right? Is that it?
Well, you know, Phil, you're the one that brought these people on.
Well, there's no point in me talking with these guys, you know? Anyway, because I just know what they're going to say. Okay, so Larry Grover. So Obama's a big liar, and health care doesn't work.
Hold on for a minute. You know, Phil, I'm sorry, but if the guy's dishonest...
You know, maybe he is. Let's say that he is dishonest. Does that mean that health care is not a workable plan for America? Let's say he's dishonest and he knew that you couldn't hold on to your insurance.
Well, and then he misled the American people, and the American people would be against health care.
They'd be against national health care?
Yes.
Okay. And with the American people being against national health care, would that be an intelligent decision?
I believe that the American people know what they... Let me tell you, look, this is not Europe. This is America, okay?
Right, this is America where people who don't have insurance go ahead and just throw themselves on the mercy of a hospital and pass the cost on to other people that have insurance. That's the America that I live in. That's really fair.
What are you talking about?
I just got done laying out to you what the reality is. So whether or not Obama's a liar or whether American health care or Obamacare works or doesn't work, the fact is, let's just keep the system in place that we got, which means that we're going to be continuing these trillions of dollars in health care costs that we have in this country every year with no end in sight. with it continuing to chew up an ever-increasing percentage of the household budget as well as the national outlay. And there's no answer because Obamacare sucks, national health care sucks, he lied, you can this, that. So there's no answer until we all go broke, standing in line waiting for a doctor.
No, I think that there are solutions. The tort reform.
Oh God.
Well, you don't want those solutions because that doesn't mean that there's nationalism and there's not socialism there.
Tort reform is going to really do the job, huh? All right, Kurt.
I think it'll do the job because it's $150 billion. I know that's not a lot, but it's a start. And that's all I'm trying to say.
All right, Kurt, you and Guy are having your gobbler. Any thoughts?
Well, Phil, you got my sympathy on this. Look, I understand what Mr. Grover trying to say. He doesn't want communism, socialism, or this. And I'm not disagreeing with that.
I don't think there's a threat of communism, but I think the encroaching socialism,
I don't disagree with that. I don't want communism either. But I can assure you that this is so far away from communism that there are countries that have national health care. It's never going to be communist. One of them, our neighbors to the north, and last time I checked, communism ain't even on the table as a viable form of government. It went south over 20 years ago. However, having said that, I can understand you're going to be afraid of that. But the law's been passed. And whether Obama lied this, lied that, or something else, whether Obama got it right or got it wrong, the law is the law, and it says you can't have that kind of insurance. I don't know what kind of insurance you want to have, but if you want to have insurance in this country, you've got to have a basic coverage. That's what the law says. And you can't force women to pay more money than a man pays.
Well, I don't know if that's the case or not.
I'm telling you that's the case. That's why they made that illegal. You know.
See, that's one of the reasons why. If you say I want to hold on to my coverage, well, what coverage is that? Here's my coverage. My wife pays more for insurance than I do. I mean, what is that? You know.
Well, I mean, I haven't been married in a long time, but the that to me, I bet you that's just one of those red herrings. You know?
No, it's not. It's just an example of what are insurance plans that are now illegal. You can't do that. You can't charge people that. You can't make them pay that. You're not allowed to do that. Now, if Obama failed to mention that, then okay, you can call him a liar, or he's dumb. He forgot to mention it because he wasn't thinking of it. I don't know. You know? But let's say he's a liar. And he didn't tell us that, oh, yeah, there's some insurance that you won't be able to hang on to because it's going to be illegal because it screws you. I don't know why a president would want to hold that back on purpose. It sounds like something that was perhaps an oversight, or maybe he thought the American people had read the law. I don't know what.
Let me tell you something about Obama. He's like any other politician. He'll get away with cold-blooded murder if he can. Especially when it means the survival of his little pet projects. And this Obamacare, from beginning to end, has been one big bill of sale, man. I'm telling you, he sold us a bill of... How do you say the...
Bill of goods. This is really boring. You better...
What do you mean it's boring?
Going on for half an hour, it sucks. It's all about health care.
Hey, who is that? Is that that Dickman?
Hold on. What is it with you guys?
You've been talking about this for half an hour, and that show is just dragging, man. It's no good. No good at all.
Yeah, get off this, Phil. Anything. Talk sports. Talk about anything. Talk about...
Don't talk about what?
I was going to say talk about girls, women, sex, your...
Okay, I'm going to let you guys go then, because my staff is in revolt here, huh?
Well, all right. I mean, you know,
I totally understand. I'm going to go and get some more to eat. I understand that it is kind of a boring topic. I'm kind of a boring guy. And Guy is too, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty dull.
Well, I don't think I'm dull. I think I'm an interesting man.
Well, tonight you're pretty dull. That's what my staff's saying, so I got to let you go.
Oh, man, that's a real jip.
So thanks a lot.
Well, somebody had to say something, Phil. It was going on. It was interminable. You're getting all worked up about what? You don't know enough about these topics to debate these things.
Yeah, but I'm debating those idiots. And I'm not even debating all of them. I was just talking to Larry. And I'm not even debating Larry. I'm just asking him questions, you know.
Yeah, but it ain't the right questions and stuff. You're not trying to do the Bill Hannity or whatever the guy's name is.
Don't talk about Bill Hannity.
Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, you're not him, man.
Well, it's true, Phil. You're not them, and you never will be. You're not a brain. You're a funny man. You're a clown. Just clown it up and leave the real thinking for the real men. I don't mean that in a bad way.
No, not at all. Leave the real thinking for the real men.
What I mean by that is
leave the dull topics like healthcare to...
Yeah, people as quality like George Stavropoulos, guys like that.
Well, you know, I mean, I see what you're saying, but the least I could have done... I mean, tonight there's a big election, and people are talking about it, and there was O'Reilly. Yeah, forget it.
Well, don't start acting like a baby.
No, it's fine. It's fine. All right, we're going to come back here, and, well, we'll just continue to talk a little bit here. We got this New York City race, and...
Don't do the New York City. Get this stuff out. Take this stuff and throw it away, bud.
Yeah, I'm getting rid of all this, Mr. Henry. It's no good. It's no damn good. Can't have it.
You're going to get rid of... What?
I'm getting rid of all this stuff.
All right, so great. So I'm just going to have to start...
You're going to have to just start to wing it.
Great. We'll wing it right after this. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Watch us wing it on stage in San Francisco at the end of January at the Sketch Fest. Woo! Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Well, that's some spooky stuff there.
Five-finger death punch.
Well, that's great. Five-finger death punch. Oh, that's with the guy from...
Yeah, Judas Priest. I don't know much about him.
It's a good band. Anyway, welcome back here. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. So we got rid of all the guys from the healthcare debate.
Look, I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but I think...
No. You're not trying to make me feel bad.
I think the time... has arrived where you just have to recognize, Phil, that talking about these things is beyond, I think, your ability. There is a group of people, talk show hosts, that can discuss these things in great depth.
Do you want to listen to them instead?
No, I'm not saying that.
No, they stink.
They stink?
Yeah.
But let them stink... in their own little stink room. I don't know.
Let them stink in their own little stink room.
Let them do that. Because you don't want to do that. You know?
Well, look, I know what you're saying. I mean, it's... nobody's going to win. Nobody's going to win. And I don't even know why I'm talking about it, because I'm not going to convince anybody. I think it was more than... Larry Grover bugs me. He's another one of those guys... Larry's one of those guys that is just as dogmatic. He's just entrenched and stubborn as anybody. You know, you can stick his face right up to the reality of something, and he's just gonna. Well, you know,
there's people are going to be like that, Phil. You can't do anything about it.
Yeah, but that guy, you talk about,
Dude, talk about him sleeping on a cotton on his mother's on a service porch.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the whole thing with him. He's sleeping on a cot on his mother's service porch. His wife and his kids don't even talk. His ex-wife, she's gone, but his kids don't even talk to him. He hasn't had a date with a real woman in God knows how long. And all of that because he's got his head so far up the rear end of the political thing. And all he can think about, every time there's a Democrat in the office, he's trying to get the guy impeached or thrown out. It was Clinton, and now it's Obama. And as a result, he's got no life. And then I get him on the air, and I talk to him about this stuff, and it doesn't sound like he knows what he's talking about. It sounds like he's just, you know, I think he's probably...
I think he's sitting during the day with a bottle of cognac, looking at CNN, and just draining the bottle, and then taking a nap.
Well, you know what, then we ought to stop having him on the show. Hey, Larry, if you're listening, and is he still working at that print shop?
Yeah, he said he had another big job, another Mexican wedding. A lot of invitations to the reception.
Isn't that nice?
What a racist, bud. What?
I didn't say it. He did.
Well, yeah, don't bring it up.
Did he say he got a Mexican wedding?
Well, he said it was a big wedding.
Oh, so you just assumed it was Mexican.
Well...
All right, so anyway, that's the problem I got. The personalities of some of these guys just is beyond me. Now, the other story that's actually probably more in keeping with something that we would like to talk about on the show as opposed to being forced to, and that is this guy, Richie Incognito. This dude is a... He's a player for the Miami Dolphins. He's been suspended indefinitely. The reason for this is a hazing that he did on a guy named Jonathan Martin. By hazing, what I'm talking about is a form of harassment that is good-natured, or it's supposed to be, and it's a way of sort of joining a player to a team. It's a way of getting people to become... members of the family. You know, you sort of have to pass a series of rather silly but nonetheless difficult tests of loyalty and faithfulness, and then you're accepted into the larger family of the football team. It's been going on for years, and they were doing it in Miami. Now, there were statements by the team that they didn't like some of the hazing that was going on, that they'd outlawed most of it, if not all of it. One of these guys, this guy Incognito, apparently was giving this kid Martin a hard time. And one of the things the guy, these cats talk about making money, they forced him to pick up a $15,000 dinner tab.
What?
I think it was a $15,000. It was a $15,000 something. Might have been a dinner tab, or it might have been paying for everybody to do something, but boy, is that a lot of bread, you know?
Yeah, they got all the money, though, and playing in football.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean a guy gets to stick a gun to your head and say, okay, you're the rookie on the team, so cough it up, man, 15 grand. Wow. So anyway, the guy has been suspended from the ball club, Incognito. I'm over on his Twitter feed, or at least I thought I was over on his Twitter feed. Results for Incognito. Where is this guy?
Well, he's that big, beefy-looking Claude right there.
Yeah, I know who he is. I was looking at his comments yesterday, and they were essentially the following. I want my name back. I want my reputation back. How dare you guys, do this to me? How dare you run me into the ground? He feels that he's been treated unfairly. Here's his latest tweet, and this is from November 3. What's the date today, the 5th? Miami Dolphin statement on Jonathan Martin. That is on the Richie Incognito Twitter feed. So that means there's somebody else working his Twitter feed.
Why do you say that?
Well, that's not exactly what I would call a partisan statement, okay? It's a very, very objective, bland statement. And I imagine that that wasn't written by him, because this guy, like I said yesterday, was talking about how he'd been screwed by ESPN, Adam Scheffler, that one reporter, CBS Sports, ABC Sport. He felt like he'd been railroaded by everybody. Here's the last tweet that it looks like he actually posted. Three things cannot be long hidden: the sun, the moon, and the truth. Buddha.
What?
What is he talking about, Buddha?
That's a quote from the Buddha, according to Richie Incognito, who looks a lot like the Buddha.
Hey.
Thank you. Let me see if I can get some more of Richie's tweets here, man. Go to full profile. Here it is. Landed in Providence. This is the calm before the storm. Adversity has drawn us tighter. Great opportunity for us tomorrow. This was on October the 28th, so he hasn't really tweeted much of anything, Mr. Incognito.
That's his real name?
Yes, it's his real name. Although a writer, I thought, very, very humorously said, Richie Incognito, who's failed to live up to the promise of his name.
Isn't that cute?
What's that mean?
Incognito means basically, incognito means like keeping it low-key, being invisible, being out of the public eye. I'm out Twitter. It's been real. Time for GTA, film study, and sleep. This is a couple of weeks ago. So he has... He's left the Twitterverse, as it were, for the time being, Richie Incognito. The guy's been suspended. Now, they had a piece of film footage or video footage of him here not too long ago, showing him raging about what looked like a sports bar, his shirt off, bouncing around between billiard tables, guys laughing. You know, I don't know whether this is roid rage or...
Well, I was going to say, these guys with the steroids, don't they go hog wild?
Yeah, they do, man. Too much steroid, and they go ape. They'll go wild all over you.
Well, I'm not going to say the guys on steroids... What do you mean they go ape and wild all over you?
They do, the steroids.
Well, I don't think that that's necessarily the case. I don't know why the guy was pissed off. Probably because of this whole thing that's been bedeviling him. But, it's hazing, and the whole reason why this whole thing became such a big deal is because it was supposedly racial, and it was over the top. It was way beyond what it should have been, and this poor guy, and I say poor guy because, man, believe me, I know what it is to be misquoted, and I know what it is to be purposefully misquoted. I know what it is for a newspaper writer who wants to make you look bad, regardless of what the truth is. And that's exactly what he sets about doing. And you know what happened, and you know what you told the guy, and then you know what the guy is writing.
Well, what specifically are you talking about?
I'm not going to get into any specific stories. I'll tell you one thing. You know, when I was in the middle of that lawsuit in Miami between a former player and myself, okay, I saw the sports writers in Miami do something that I kind of suspected they would do, but I was sort of hoping they wouldn't. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, why was I expecting anything? But sports writers will not write what the truth is. Sports writers will write what will gain them favor, longevity, and further solidify their career. And this is true, because if you're going to write a story about a lawsuit between a football player and a talk show host, and you're a sports writer, you're going to take the side of the football player.
Why is that?
Otherwise, you're not going to be allowed access to that locker room, that player. You're out, man. What's the guy going to do, hang out at my house? Hey, well, at least Phil Henry's my friend, as opposed to being on the side of the Miami Dolphins. So I was kind of hoping, well, you know, this guy...
Yeah, but what makes you think they should have been on your side?
Because if you looked at it on the face of what had happened, it's quite obvious that the player had been engaged in some rather egregious behavior, regardless of what you thought of me, or what you thought of talk show hosts in general, or how much you really, really wanted to party with the Dolphins. If you took a look at what the story was, and you took a look at what had precipitated it, you probably would have been more inclined to favor what I was trying to say. But it ain't going to happen, man. It ain't going to happen. They're not going to run the risk of fouling the waters with the Miami Dolphins so they can write an objective story. And it's sports anyway. It doesn't have to be objective. So, you know, any guy that calls himself a sports journalist, I always put an asterisk next to that. Yeah, you're writing about sports. Yeah, you're reporting, but it's not like you're a real reporter, because you don't have any... There's no real heavy-ass truth that is more important than you having access to the team locker room. It's like this. When I started my radio career in Orlando, and Orlando was trying to get an NFL franchise way back before Tampa had one. They were going to get two franchises in the NFL. They eventually became Tampa and Seattle. But Orlando was trying to get a franchise as well. And the efforts that the city of Orlando made were at times, you know, good and professional, and at other times they're a little sloppy and left a lot to be desired. The first thing that they needed in Orlando was a stadium. They didn't have a stadium, but they kept talking to the NFL about, oh, here are our plans, look at what we're going to do, look at the construction company we've hired, look at the beautiful architectural design, so on and so forth. And when the NFL sort of rejected that or would not say anything favorable about it, Orlando would get a little, the sports writers in the Orlando paper would get a little huffy and get a little upset. And somebody pointed something out. They said, you know, you guys are not exactly in a position to be getting bitchy and pissy and moany about stuff. You're a little small, dinky-ass town. You ain't got diddly squat, man. You haven't got any professional sports down there other than a minor league team. Who do you guys think you're muscling anyway? Why do you think the NFL needs you? You know, and if the team actually lands in Orlando and they start playing crappy, and you're going to write all honestly about how crappy they are, what a lousy product they're putting on the field, and how the fans are being gypped, really? Are you really going to do that? You know, the very first major league team that you've ever had in the history of the city, and you're going to go,
what a disappointment. I mean, we really thought we were going to have an NFL team, and look at how crappy they are, you know.
Well, what does that mean?
It means they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. They're not going to run the risk of pissing off the only major league franchise the city's ever had by writing all this bad stuff about it when they want to keep that team. You know, it ain't like they're New York and they got 9 million teams and there's all kinds of things to do. New York sports writers will always be the greatest in the country because they don't give a damn, man. The teams need that city more than the city needs them. That's the difference between New York and some wide spot in the road like Orlando. So that's why it's not really journalism. It is a kind of a public relations job coupled with you're like an entertainment reviewer. You're like a dance critic.
Well, that almost sounds like the whole thing is a bunch of fairies dance around and stuff.
Well, yeah, no, but I mean, that's what you're not a reporter. You are a public relations guy mixed in with like a critic. You know, that's it. You're not a reporter. So, that's why I think this incognito thing and all the rest of this stuff, man, you know, it's a whole lot of nothing, man. It's hazing, whatever. The dude isn't dead. The guy's giving him a hard time. The guy cried. He went to a psychiatrist, whatever. Okay, maybe they should stop it. I don't know how much of this is the fans' business. If you don't like it, don't go see the team play. Period. And if there's a crime being committed, the guy will get arrested, throw his ass in jail, and get on with the business of having a football team. If the guy sends this dude around the edge and he commits suicide, if he bullies him, this kind of thing, all right, then, you know, it's something to look at. But this is horse dung. And if there are more serious things to write about them. I doubt it, though.
Well, what about the steroid thing? There were people, you talked about roid rage and things like that.
Steroid thing is, it's never going to sell newspapers. It's never going to sell newspapers, and it's never going to get...
You thought it would get boring, Mr. Humphrey.
Yeah, this is dull.
This is dull.
It is kind of dull, yeah.
All right.
Well, don't get...
We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show and try to find something to talk about here. Sorry that it ain't exactly... World-famous Phil Hendry show and Phil Hendry show doc. I thought it was pretty interesting, this... Anyway... Don't forget a backstage pass at philhenryshow.com and you can watch me squirm on video here. Hey, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show, philhenryshow.com. At philhenryshow.com, of course, every night, as I mentioned, we have our video cast. We also have our podcast of the show you can listen to the next day. And check out and see what are going on each and every night as we struggle through this weird world of ours. We also have a classic podcast, and we also have the Bobby Dooley podcast, which is going great guns, man. She's getting some serious-ass downloads. You know, I don't know why you don't want to do one, Margaret.
I don't want to do a podcast. I think the whole thing is...
What?
Well, it's everyone does a podcast, and I've got other things to do. I'm a mother. I'm a wife. I do this. I'm on this.
Well, yeah, you're on the daily podcast of the show, but I mean...
Don't you want to do your own?
No, I don't want to do my own. I don't have any interest in that falderol and that flummery. I think it's just a big... Pardon me for using the term. I think it's a big circle jerk.
The what?
You want me to yell it?
Margaret, if you can't say it, then don't say it. If you can't come out and say it in a very clear and forthright way, go ahead.
You said forthright, Elmer.
Yeah, Mr. Fudd, you said forthright.
Fine. If you can't say it in a forthright way, then don't say it.
I can say it in a forthright way. I just don't want to say it loud in case there are children listening. So it's a big circle.
What?
It's a big circle.
Hey. Forget it. She said circle jerk.
How dare you?
Well, don't say it then. Podcasts, there's millions of podcasts. Lots of people who listen to them. Anyway, Bobby's is doing really well. And She just did Dana Gould today or yesterday, and it's online. Dana Gould's an interesting guy. Have you seen him perform or?
Well, I heard him on. I think he's a very interesting man. He's an actor, and he has the comedy special coming up on Thursday night.
Yeah, he's gonna be on Showtime and everything.
He'll be on Showtime with his comedy special. Then he's gonna be on Mob City, on TNT, which is another mob show. You know, it's very interesting how we cycle around to these shows about the 20s and 30s. And that happened in the 60s when there was The Untouchables. There was a number of television shows on that were cop dramas based in the Roaring 20s. They called them the Roaring 20s because the country was living high on the hog and partying like there was like it was 1999, even though...
It was 1929.
Right. Or 1919, and there was prohibition. There was no legal booze, but I guess that...
Yeah, they had a bathtub gin, man, and apparently that stuff was so good, everybody partying, doing the Charleston and stuff.
Yes, they did the Charleston, and they did the Black Bottom.
What's that mean?
I don't know, but it was called the Black Bottom.
Is that racist?
No, it ain't racist, man. I don't know what it means. What did it mean?
I don't know. Someone sat down in a bucket of tar or something?
Yeah, that's probably why.
I don't know. That sounds pretty stupid.
Why does that sound stupid?
Someone sat down in a bucket of tar, and that's why it's called the Black Bottom?
Well, what else is it, Phil?
I don't know. Maybe there's a name of a... Maybe it's a part of a town, you know, like the Black Bottom was a part of a neighborhood or something like that.
It could be racial.
Man, if it's racial, then I'm glad nobody does that dance anymore.
Yeah, but you can't outlaw it just because.
Yes, you can do anything you want. Outlaw it because it's Black Bottom. I don't know if it's racial. Anyway, yeah, they had all kinds of dances and stuff. And the whole country was going ape, and they were doing it on that gin, on that bathtub stuff that would make you go blind. That's what that prohibition booze did. Sometimes it made people go blind. It was so bad.
But they had beer, too.
They had beer that came down from Canada, and they had some good booze, but a lot of the stuff that was homebrew, and by that, what I mean by that is that it was made in a guy's apartment. It was bad news, dude. Bad news stuff. And some people actually did. They lost their sight. So there's all of these shows, and in the middle of all of them is the, what's it called? Mob City with Dana Gould starting in December or January on TNT. Phil Hendry Show, we'll see you next hour with more right after the news break here.